Hello and welcome to Radio Prague with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's programme, the leading Czech guitarist David Doruška takes us to some of his favourite places in the city in a fresh edition of My Prague. We have another edition of Soundcheck in which you can learn Czech idioms with the help of song lyrics. And later we talk to Iveta Kennedy from the Roma Education Fund, which is in charge of granting scholarships to Roma University students here in the Czech Republic. All that coming up, and we start with David Doruška, who takes Ian Willoughby around his favourite spots in Prague.
David Doruška is one of the Czech Republic's best jazz musicians. The guitarist studied at the Berklee College of Music in Boston and later spent time in New York and Paris. A few months ago, he released his latest album, Autumn Tales. Our tour of David Doruška's Prague begins at the Branické skály, a rocky outcrop overlooking the Vltava, close to where the 37-year-old was raised in a musical household. His grandfather was the jazz expert and writer Lubomír Doruška, while his father Petr is a well-known music journalist.
The Branické skály, these rocks, they are part of some very old rocks which have been here since prehistoric times. I don't know much about it, but somehow I even get that feeling every time that I come here. And it's a beautiful wood, and it's just a nice walk, and also it's a really great view of the whole city of Prague from here. And I have a lot of memories of this place from my childhood, so it's really a special place to me.
I've often passed Branické skály from below, and I had no idea, and it's very steep from below, and I had no idea there was a kind of place you could come up here and walk and see this amazing view.
Yeah, that's true. I think actually not that many people know about it, because you don't see so many people here usually. So yeah, it's really a special and a hidden place, and at the same time, you know, you can see the whole of Prague from here, and it's not that far from the center. So that's another thing that I like it, that you know, it's kind of secret, and it's never crowded here.
One unfortunate thing is, I guess, because it's a very steep fall to the valley below, there's a kind of wire mesh in front of this pathway here.
Yeah, that's true. Well, actually, I don't know how it is now, but there used to be a hole, and then I think there used to be a gate in the fence a little bit further south, where you could actually walk down the hill, where it was not that steep. But the main wall of the rocks is very steep, so it's for a good reason that there's this fence.
And what kind of an area is it here? The place you live just around the corner here is called Zelený Pruh, which means, I guess, like green zone or something?
Green lane, I think, would be sort of a good translation. Yeah, that's where I grew up, where my parents still live these days, and my sister with her family, her husband and her kids, and where my grandfather and grandmother also used to live. So, yeah, in this house, that's where I spent my childhood.
That seems like a very minority experience to me, to live in Prague, but live in a big family home with several generations. In fact, I can't think of anybody I know who has had that experience here.
I think in this part of town, actually, it's quite common, because you see mostly these family houses. I think it's typical in some parts, probably not typical in others. So, yeah, I guess I was very fortunate to have this experience.
From Branické skály, Doruška and I walked down a series of steps to Braník, the district by the Vltava the guitarist calls home today. There he leads me to the lively and welcoming Periferia Café, as impressive a spot as you're likely to find on the periphery of Prague.
I've known it for about 4 years since I moved to the apartment where I live with my family these days in Starý Braník, old Braník. It's just a really beautiful café, I think. And again, a place that's kind of hidden. Not that many people know about it. And it's somehow special to me. The service is very nice always. They have some great food, really fresh and really tasty. And they change the menu very often. And usually they play nice music here too. That's another thing that I like a lot about it.
Do cafes like this, especially in more out-of-the-way parts of Prague, serve in some sense as a kind of culture center? It's a place to go and feel part of a community.
I think in some ways, yes. I have to say that I think that this kind of place is quite special. if we remember that we are sort of on the outskirts of Prague. I don't think that there's that many cafes on this level on the outskirts. I'm sure that there are in the center, but that's what's actually special to me about this place, I guess.
And for you, generally speaking, what makes a good cafe?
The coffee or the drinks in general, the food, if they serve food, which this place does, and really good food at very reasonable prices. The service, of course, and the environment or the whole vibe that the place has, and that's not easy to put in words.
Also, for me, what's important with a cafe is windows. You have to have big windows onto the street. Maybe there isn't much to see in Braniec, but at least you feel like you're on the street.
I totally agree. Windows are important, and there's huge windows here. Actually, since it's night at this time, but there are some remarkable things to see in Braniec, even though one wouldn't notice them maybe right away. But actually, what we are looking at out of this window next to us is it's an old abbey, I think, or monastery from maybe the 17 or 1800s. It's totally run down now, and I think somebody's trying to build a brewery in there, or it has some sort of other function now.
So Braniec does have some sites.
I think so, and you know, it's just a very pleasant part of the city to live in for me, you know, with these small houses, and still you sort of feel like you are in a small town or a big village, but you actually are in Prague, but it's very quiet and not hectic at all. That's what I like.
Leaving Braniec, David Doruška and I take a tram along the river before crossing at the Jurasek Bridge and making our way to Jazz Dock, a cool music venue on the lock under the embankment Janáčkovo Nábřeží. It's too loud to record inside on a busy Friday night, so we stand in the doorway as punters pass.
Jazz Dock is the best venue to listen to jazz music in Prague, and it's a place where I perform quite often. Actually, in Prague is, I think, the place where I perform the most often, definitely, without question. And I think for anybody who wants to hear great music in great jazz music in Prague, it's the really the place to go to. It's a very nice club with you know, great music, great program, good food, good drinks, good environment. I just really like it to play and to listen to music, and very often bands from abroad that I want to hear very often come to play here, so I come here often as a performer and as a listener too.
What makes it better as a venue? Is it the fact that it is purpose-built as a music venue?
Hard to say. I don't know so much about that, but I think it's just the vibe and the people who run it, the owner, who is a real jazz fan and a guy who wants to have this place as really a place for music, not just a place to drink, you know, while music is playing. And also just the programming of the music. There's always good music here, really.
Also, it's quite a spectacular place here, right by the river. It's really spectacular.
Oh, totally, it is. It's special. I don't know if I could remember any other club in a place like that, just right on the river. So,
apart from Jazz Dock here, what are the best jazz venues in Prague?
Another place that I like is U Malého Glena, a place which has been existing for over 20 years, maybe 22 years or something like that. So that's a place that I like too, where I've played a lot, and it has a very nice atmosphere and good bands play there. Other than that, it's pretty difficult. There's a bunch of other jazz venues in Prague, and when tourists or foreigners come to Prague, they are very often very surprised how many that you actually see, you know, jazz club this and jazz club that all over Prague. But really, I think the reality is that many of those places are places where there is some sort of jazz music playing, but it's not really important what kind of music and whether it's good or bad. And the most important thing is to get a lot of tourists in, and the goal is that they drink as much beer as possible and not the quality of music, you know. So that's not true for Jazz Dog, definitely, and that's why I like this place.
I have the perception that jazz was the most popular music among Czech intellectuals, say, before the mid-1960s. But from that time, it has been less popular. What state is the jazz scene in today in Prague?
I think today it's in a very good state, actually. It's the Czech jazz scene has really improved and gotten bigger, much bigger in the past 15 years. So myself, I started performing in public when I was 14 in 94. And there were some really good Czech jazz players at the time who I had the chance to work with. At that time also there was a number of American musicians who were actually living in Prague in the mid-90s. But, you know, the Czech scene at that time, the number of really good musicians was not very big. And it's gotten much, much bigger since then. So today I'm pretty happy that, you know, I live in Prague and I get to work with some really great players who also live here, so I can't complain. I think it's improving and it's very interesting today.
And to what do you credit the fact that there are today more good jazz players, that the scene is more lively than it was a few years ago?
You can see this again, you know, not just in the Czech Republic but everywhere, because there's schools that people go to, and just the ways of studying the music these days are much easier than they used to be. And there's just more musicians than there were before. So all these reasons, I think, contribute to that. And hopefully it also means that more people are interested in the music, or at least more musicians, but perhaps more public in general as well. So that's a good thing.
Do you have a sense that the audience is bigger than it was, say, 15 or 20 years ago?
It's very difficult to measure, but I see that there's better venues and there's more people who come to listen to the music than just people who just come to drink beer to the music. So in that way, I feel good about that. It's not like suddenly there would be, you know, crowds and thousands of people coming to jazz concerts. That's not happening, but I'm optimistic, you know, in this way. I think there's people who like this music and who appreciate it, and that's important. It's not the number of people, but that there are some people who are into it.
Leading Czech guitarist David Doruška was Ian Willoughby's guest in the latest edition of My Prague, and you can find more editions of this program on our website. But now it's time for another Czech lesson with Soundcheck, brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
Hello and welcome to Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the group Činasky and is called Chytrej kluk, or Smart Boy.
Když chytrej kluk potká hezkou holku, tak to neznamená, že je to hotový. Spočítá si, co by ho to asi tak stálo, pak jí osloví.
Chytrej kluk means smart boy or clever boy. And in this case, the lyrics go, when a smart boy meets a pretty girl, it's not a foregone conclusion. He'll first add up what she would cost him and then decide whether to approach her. Not very romantic, but then Činasky usually keep their feet very much on the ground.
Když chytrej kluk potká hezkou holku, tak to neznamená, že je to hotový. Spočítá si, co by ho to asi tak stálo, pak jí osloví.
There are a number of negative phrases you're likely to hear in connection with the word smart or chytrej. People often say chytrej jako rádio, meaning clever as the radio, about someone who has an answer to everything and talks far too much. A more modern version of that, which appeared in the Czech language only recently, is chytrej jako Wikipedia, smart as Wikipedia. And I've also heard chytrej jako novinář, smart as a journalist. Nice, isn't it? Though not entirely flattering.
chytrej kluk potká hezkou holku, tak to neznamená, že je to hotový.
There are a few quaint, old-fashioned Czech phrases denoting cleverness, though you're not likely to hear them very often these days. Older people may mention that someone has an open head, meaning open to new information. In other words, they're not thick-headed. Or they may say that someone or other has been eating a lot of smart porridge, jedl vtipnou kaši. Of course, I was fed that all the time, which is why I'm now as smart as the radio. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Daniela Lazarová with that edition of Soundcheck. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. For more than 10 years, the Roma Education Fund has been helping young Roma students to receive higher education and become professionals in their fields. At the moment, the program is operating in 15 European countries, including the Czech Republic. I spoke to Iveta Kennedy from the Czech Republic's leading Roma advocacy group, Romea, who is in charge of the program here in this country, and I first asked her to tell me a bit more about its objectives.
Roma Education Fund started operating basically in 2005 in Budapest. Its establishment was decided in a high-level conference on Roma in 2003, and it was co-financed by the World Bank, OSI, the European Commission, UNDP, the Hungarian, Finnish and Swedish governments. Its mission and ultimate goal is to close the gap in educational outcomes between Roma and non-Roma. And the main goal of the scholarship program, about which we are talking now, is to allow Roma people to achieve as high education as possible. So in our case, to graduate from universities, but at the same time to be confident and proud of their Roma identity and to be equipped with skills and competencies that enable them to get valuable jobs and to have good jobs and to be successful in their careers, in their professions.
When was the program launched here in the Czech Republic?
In the Czech Republic, it was launched in the year 2010. At first, it was administrated by youth organization Athinganoi, and later it was taken over by organization Romea, which is still administrating this program. Roma Education Fund also offers grants to NGOs in the Czech Republic, not only scholarships to Roma students. So that's another part, but it's all focusing on education.
So is the program only intended for university students?
The program in the Czech Republic is offering grants or scholarships only to Roma university students. But we offer scholarships in other 15 countries. It's not only the Czech Republic. And in other countries, Roma Education Fund offers also scholarships to secondary school students. In the Czech Republic, this is offered by the Ministry of Education, but also by Roma organization and other organizations.
How many students completed their studies thanks to the grants that you provided?
Since 2010, about 370 scholarships have been awarded. And of this number, about 70% finished their studies. It's usually, I'm talking about BA level of education, which is the most popular among our beneficiaries, but there are also students of master programs and also PhD, but majority is BA, and it is 70%, which is comparable to the number or percentile of the majority students that also about 70% complete their education. So the dropout rate is about 30%.
What kind of requirements do they have to fulfill in order to sort of be able to receive the funds?
They have to be first students enrolled in a university. It must be an official university accredited by the state. It can be private or state university. They should have good educational outcomes. So we calculate their GPAs. So the better GPA, the better chance they'll get a scholarship. Annually, we award about 35-40 scholarships for the students, but we hope that this number will keep on increasing. They have to apply in an online application system, which is quite complex. They have to write 2 essays on a good level. They have to provide also confirmation that they cooperate or will cooperate with some Roma NGO. So we aim to motivate them and encourage them to kind of pay back to the community or cooperate with the communities. We don't want them to get successful, educated, and then leave. So we would like them to support their own community. So we encourage them to work with them. And we want them to provide us some kind of recommendation letter and then later proof what they have been doing with the Roma NGO.
And would you say from your own experience that these Roma University graduates actually serve as role models for younger kids?
Yes, definitely. We encourage them, for example, to tutor children, which some of our students do. And for the Roma kids studying at elementary school or secondary school, when they see university educated or students studying in universities that are also Roma, it's a great motivation for them and encouragement. So that's one of the things we hope. Some organizations like Roma also organizes a meeting for students, Roma students, and to these meetings are invited university students, but also secondary school students. So there also the secondary school students are motivated and encouraged by the university students. And we hope in the future that they'll be also serving as some kind of mentors to these younger children.
Has the interest in your programs, has it been sort of gradually increasing over the years?
The interest has been slowly increasing, but it is not a steep race because the situation in education really is not so easy to get into secondary school. And it is getting actually harder and harder. Now from this year, the national entrance exams were introduced. We are not sure how many Roma kids will manage to get through that. To get into secondary school, in order to be eligible for university, you must pass for a secondary school. So this is a complex issue. And as a result, the number of university students is still not huge, but it is definitely much higher than it used to be, let's say 15 years ago. So every year we get about 60, 70 applications, and we accept about 40. Not all are eligible in the end, but about 40 get the scholarship. We also know that there are some Roma students still who don't know about the program. So a part of my work is to, like right now, to inform public about its existence so that they know about it and apply for this program. But I hope that this number will go up continuously.
And are there any subjects that are particularly popular among Roma students?
I think it's probably a natural development that a lot of students study educational fields or social fields, that they work as social workers or teachers. We encourage them to study proper teaching fields, like to be teachers of physics or mathematics, not only special teachers, you know, like it used to be very popular. The interesting thing is that they can also apply regardless of age. At any age, you can apply for this program. You can also study part-time. The Czech Republic is the only country that allows this. And we have a lot of, actually, students who are older than 40, let's say, which proves that Roma people are interested in education at any age and that they now feel is their chance. They didn't have this chance before. And I really admire them because they have families, they have jobs, and they study, and they have really good grades. The other subjects which they study or fields or professions are also medical professions. We have quite a few nurses, like midwives, or a few doctors or lawyers. Some students study international relations. One student studies at the Anglo-American College, so all of her studies are in English. So it's a wide scale of professions that they will be doing.
How important is education for the Roma minority and for them to be accepted by the majority society?
Well, a lot of the students, like the way we work with them or other NGOs, is always emphasizing the enormous importance of education, that it's the main way out of poverty or discrimination, and it's the ticket to success. So more and more Roma people realize this. And as for our beneficiaries, they are really, in most cases, the first in their families who are studying at university or even secondary school. And their families are enormously proud of this fact as a result of the policy under communism, when most Roma were segregated in special schools. Their parents don't have any education, but they would do anything for their kids to be educated. And often they are willing to get into debts to pay for the tuition. I think it's the main work of also NGOs to support this, to inform the parents. And it starts really with the preschool age, because Roma children don't go to preschool as much as the majority kids. There are still lots of children, like about 25%, that are educated in segregated elementary schools, where the level of education is not good. And then it's really hard to catch up once you lose or miss the good start. So that's important to really start at this really early age. And then we will have more university students.
Iveta Kennedy talking there about the special scholarship program for Roma students. And that brings us to the end of today's program here at Radio Prague. You will find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. This is Ruth Franjková saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.